We are in chapter 5 of Ephesians. We're going verse by verse through this letter. And I just pray by God's grace that we hear his voice this morning. And so I'd like to begin with a word of prayer. We'll read our text. We'll get started. But we're in chapter 5, verse 8. I thank you, Lord, that we can study the scriptures together. We're learning through your Bible, Lord. We're seeking to be just honest and truthful with your scripture, going through it and letting you speak to us. I thank you, your word does not change. I thank you, it is alive. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'd be upon all of us, even myself, as we study. We need you, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 5, verse 8. And if you don't have a Bible, you can use one of the ones in the back of one of the seats. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed or made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. You know, we study, you can see the headings in this chapter, but already in this chapter, we have been exhorted by Paul to walk in love. Then last week, walk in purity. The little heading I have over the verses in my text right here, New King James, we're going to be talking today about walking in light, walking in light. What do we mean by light? What do we mean by walking in the light? That's what we're going to consider together. So the first thing in verse 8 and 9. Is when it comes to walking light, the first thing is we need light in our nature. Light in our nature. That's the way I'm going to word it. But that is what Paul is referring to in verse 8 and 9. And that is, we were once darkness. Now note the wording if you have the New King James. If you have a different translation, it might be a little different. But it doesn't say in darkness. But Paul says we were once darkness, which is more literally what he says. We were once darkness. Darkness. Describing our nature apart from God. That was our nature. But now as followers of Jesus Christ, those of us that are born again, that accepted Jesus into our lives, we have a new nature. All things are new in Christ. We considered last week that we're even saints. And saints means simply, you know, a holy one. Set apart for God's purpose. And we discussed that last week. And to be set apart to God is significant because remember, God is apart. God is transcendent. He's the creator of everything. He is outside his creation. So in every way, you know, his essential nature, his perfection of his attributes, he is apart. He's set apart. And he has called us to himself. So when we go and are with God, we are with his apartness. He's separate. We are with him in that way. And we do so by faith in Jesus Christ. So we partake in his nature then as we become followers of Christ. The way Peter describes it, you can note this verse, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you, Christian, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him. And then he says it this way. Who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's the way Peter words it. That you and I have been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. So we are Christians and we're told here, Paul then says with that, we are to walk in light. Now, we have a new nature as Christians. You can't walk in the light unless you have a new nature. You need to have that light in your nature. And that is what he describes in verses 8 and 9. He says, we are children of light. And that's critically important to understand for you and I, that becoming God's people, we join in his apartness, and we now experience his nature. And what Paul describes in verse 8 is, we are now light in the Lord. That's who we are as we are born again, light in the Lord. Significant, we need to understand that. Now, last Sunday after church, my family, we went to New York. We went to an Airbnb in Yonkers, New York for the night. And that's because Aurelian, he's French, wanted to see New York City. And the French people I know, for whatever reason, they want to see New York City. So we went to show him New York City. And so Sunday night, Aurelia and Cana went up in the World Trade Center. Excuse me, they did not go in that. They went to the Empire State Building. I got you on that one because that World Trade Center is gone, right? But they went up the Empire State Building. We went to the World Trade Center Memorial. But, you know, in the Empire State Building, you're up there, you look around, all the lights is very beautiful. And, you know, the lights. So then we also went to Times Square. And Times Square, if you've ever been there, is a place of lights. In fact, people call it the Great White Way. Because you have these dizzying number of, you know, brightly lit digital boards and signs. And, you know, I've been there once and that was good enough. I've been there before, but I only went because somebody wanted to go. But to me, you stand there and you just look at a bunch of advertising, so it's not a big deal to me. And there's some strange people in Times Square, too. But it is such a brightly lit up place. They say at night, astronauts on the International Space Station can easily see the neighborhood. That's how much power is going into that place, Times Square. Well, you can go to Times Square, but it's not going to make you light. All that light is not going to do it. No, but you come to Christ. You come to Christ, and He, as it says right there, Christ at the very end that we just read, will give you light. Christ will make you light in the Lord. Now, what do we mean when we say even the word light? In the Bible, we speak of the light. What do we mean by light? In the Bible, we learn in the physical sense that light represents God's glory and God's brilliance. That, you know, Paul makes it, describes it well to us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15. This is the physical nature of God. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal, who lives in inapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. So God, physically, light speaks of His brilliance, His glory. So you read at the end of the book of Revelation, Revelation 22:5, when we are in heaven, the way it's described, the new heaven, new earth, there will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun. For the Lord God will give them light and they will reign forever and ever. Just the very brilliance, the glory, and the nature of God Himself. So light, when we speak of light, it speaks of the physical nature of God. But in verse 8 and 9, the word light is being used then in the moral sense of light. How it represents God's righteousness, God's holiness, God's purity in the moral sense. So you even have then that statement in verse 9. He says, walk as children of light for the fruit of the Spirit. And if you have another translation, the NIV says, for the fruit of the light. And the fruit of light is these things which are part of their very nature of the light of God, the nature of God, the moral nature of God. You know, the fruit of the light, goodness. Goodness can be described as love in action. Righteousness speaks of having that right standing, that right character before God, and rightness in our actions before other people. And then he says truth. And both, you know, righteousness and goodness are based on the truth. You need to be conformed to the will and to the word of God. Now, just as you need physical light to cause fruit, to grow, you put an apple tree in the darkness will hinder the growth. But the physical light will help produce fruit, good fruit. We then need this nature of light. You cannot walk in the light unless you have that nature of the light. And that means, that's the first requirement, which means you need to be born again. What Paul describes in his details for three chapters at the beginning of this letter, this is what it means to be a Christian. This is what God has done for you. When you put your trust in Jesus, this is all that it means. It means to be born again. And another way to say that is you become children, people of the light, where the light of the Lord is now part of who you are. So you need a new nature, that nature of light. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said this, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus then said again in John chapter 12, verse 36, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. Right now, as we're gathered in this place, if you're in some place watching on video or listening on the radio, we have this moment, right? That's what he's saying. When you have the light, Believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. We have the opportunity right now. Eventually, the opportunity goes away. You have one today. If you don't know the light or not in the light, then you can today become born again, have Christ, and then be in the light. John chapter 12, verse 46, Jesus says, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. So you receive the light by believing and trusting in Jesus and the work he's done for us on the cross. So he invites, Jesus invites everyone to come in faith, to come into his light. Remember, God is apart. He invites us to come and be part of his apartness. And he is light. And his light, now that nature of that light becomes part of us. And the light of life is also further described when Jesus commissioned Paul, just to put a little bit more wording to it. This is what Jesus said, Paul, go share the gospel with the Gentiles. But he describes it this way. Acts chapter 26, verse 17. That you go, I'm sending you to open their eyes. Maybe somebody here today, the prayer is God would open your eyes. Spiritually speaking. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified, set apart to God by faith in me. He says, go tell them the gospel, tell them about me, that in me, you know, God, that open their light, eyes, that they would have the light, they would leave the darkness and turn to Christ and be set apart to me. So that could be true of anybody. I want to mention that as we get started. If you're listening, it can be true of you today. You can place your trust in a true way in Christ and experience the forgiveness of sins and be reunited with God, reconciled to God, and have that life with him set apart and have his light. Now, the word darkness, again, he says you were once darkness. He doesn't say you were once in darkness. You were once darkness. And the Greek word is skotos, and it's used often just a physical sense, physical light, but also at times a moral sense, and that is what he's referring to sin in that way. Darkness, that before Christ we were once darkness, that means in every way I was without hope. I was under the power of sin. Completely under the control of sin, under the penalty of sin, under the rotten death of sin, darkness. You are darkness without Christ. That's the way it's described. So understand that according to the Bible, which we're just looking at simply, if you've never received Jesus, according to the Bible, you are darkness, which was true of everybody when we were born, until you come to the light, which is you come to Christ. Darkness, completely under, in every way, the power of sin, alienated, back in chapter 4, he said, alienated, in verse 18, from the life of God, darkened in our understanding, but then, if you're born again here today, a Christian, you put your trust in Jesus, and now you're children of light. You are light in the Lord. Now, I recently read a story that kind of just captures that. How we need, in order to walk in light, we need the nature of light, and we need that nature. And it's a story of Devin Eshelman, and it started this way. This is the very first paragraph of the story of Devin Eshelman. A number of years ago, Devin Eshelman stood on the balcony of a three-story building, ready to end his life. His pain felt too great, a thick, dark cloud he could not escape. He did not really want to die, but he wanted the pain to end. And jumping seemed the quickest way out. Little did he know, God was about to rewrite his story in a miraculous way. Devin was born, raised in San Diego, son of divorced parents, had a great childhood, though. During his junior and senior year of high school, he served as the captain of the volleyball team, went on to the local junior Olympic volleyball team, participated in tournaments around the country. He says life was easy, life was good, there was not really anything to complain about, and there was not really any challenges. Graduated top 40 of his high school class, went to UC Berkeley. However, when he was at the school, it didn't take long, and loneliness began to set in. Well, with that loneliness, he just started to struggle in his studying, so he had bad study habits. He began to just become depressed, and because he was depressed, he started to seek comfort, so he started to smoke marijuana. He says in his story, that only made his loneliness worse. He eventually stopped going to class, dropped out of school, returned home. His behavior became more erratic. Parents took him to a doctor. Doctor diagnosed him with bipolar disorder, gave him medications. That didn't help. It got worse. Spiraled down further. He was then later diagnosed with a type of schizophrenic bipolar disorder. And one day, when it seemed too much, the darkness decided to end his life. So he climbed onto the balcony of a three-story building and decided to jump, which he did, but things didn't go as planned. That after his fall, he actually survived. Was transported to the UCLA intensive care unit where doctors performed an emergency operation on his severed spinal cord, which now is left him paralyzed. But he woke up several days later from a morphine-induced coma and found himself in a rehab hospital in San Diego. But it was while he was in that rehab hospital, another patient said, I want to introduce you to my brother-in-law. He said, all right, I'll talk to him. Brother-in-law came in, started to share his story. You know, I used to be in a drug cartel and member of that, and started to just go on with his story. But very quickly, Devin, looking at him, saw light. He saw something he had never really seen before. In the man's presence, the way he described it, in his eyes bore sort of a clarity that I'd never seen before. So seeing that, knew he was different. He said, you know, Devin asked him, so what happened to you? And the man smiled and uttered just one word. And what was the word? Jesus. So this man then gave Devin a book of Jesus, about the gospel. And Devin would read it there in the hospital. And one day he prayed, if you are real God, I'm going to give you a try. Maybe that's you today. Maybe God worked it out. You're here listening. Maybe you've been darkness or whatever in your life, confusion. And you need to open your heart. Maybe you're at a place today where, all right, God, I'm going to give this a try. Speak to me. Teach me. Well, right there, he gave his heart. And then this is his own words the next morning. He awoke, felt like a 12-year-old again. As he lowered himself into his wheelchair, unable to feel anything below his waist, yet he felt an inexplicable joy that radiated through him. So he describes it this way. After feeling like a monster for so long, lost in darkness, he felt this vitality and rejoiced. And these are his words. Knowing full well, he walked out of the darkness and into the light. And maybe that can be you here today. You know, we're being told to walk in the light. How do you walk in the light? What is light? Well, it's the nature of God in various ways. And you can put your trust in Christ and you can leave the darkness. Leave all that is and be set apart with God in his light. This man now is, it's a number of years ago that happened. He's now married and he's actively serving the Lord. Our first point today, we just note it. To walk in the light requires first that we have light in our nature. Like Devin, no longer in darkness, but born again, as he says, in the presence of God. How about you today? How about you today? Well, I'm going to pray at the end of this study a prayer. Maybe you want to use that prayer. If you're at a place, it's not some magical prayer, but if you're at a place you want to make a decision, because it is, life is filled with decisions, you can make one today to follow Christ. So, the next thing Paul tells us about walking light is we also need light in our knowledge. And I think this is critical to remind you as the church, and we say this a lot, but we get to hear it in different words this morning. In an intellectual sense, light also represents God's perfect illumination, God's perfect understanding. Light represents God's knowledge. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 22, he, God, reveals deep and secret things, things that are hidden. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Another scripture speaking of his perfect knowledge, he's omniscient, is what we get from the scripture. God knows all things. Nothing is hidden from God. In that way, you know, it speaks of, you know, God's knowledge, the light. So as we walk in the light, to walk in the light, then I need this nature of light, but I also need then to continue to grow in this light of knowledge. That's part of walking light. And that's what he describes in verse 10 with different words. finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. The New Living translates it, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. And I think that says it really well. And I think that's the challenge for you and I as Christians at this moment in the church. Walking in the light, people of light, saints, grow in your knowledge of light. Be careful that your knowledge is not darkness. There's such darkness around us. And we need to discern, note those words, finding out what is acceptable, finding out what is truly pleasing to the Lord, and what is not pleasing to the Lord. And the challenge you and I have today is the church is slowly being worn down and worn down. There is such great, it's like we live in a big Times Square with so much of messaging around us, universities, media, music, politically, government, messaging to change the way that you think. But God has not changed. God is distinctly separate from the rest. And God is light. And there's light in Him. His knowledge is light. We're in this place. We have to be very careful that what's going into our heads and our knowledge is not darkness. Even though everything may say one thing, but it's darkness. And you bear the fruit of the darkness. I'll read to you, you know, there's so many false teachers, even false prophets. You're watching today, right? Some of you know, just big churches that, you know, for years have been, a standard-bearing church, of truth in our nation, and now are beginning to acquiesce, beginning to rephrase, restate, pressures from the world, give in, darkness. God is light. We need to walk in light and walk in the knowledge of God, which is light. This is the key thing. I'm going to read to you a devotional from this morning. It is Chuck Smith's daily devotional called Wisdom for Today. And it's the reading for today. It's called False Hope. And what is happening more and more, it always has been. So, back in the time of Ezekiel, it was happening then. But false prophets giving false hope, going along with the crowd. And so Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 14 is the scripture. And then I'm just going to read to you. It's a short devotional. It just says it well. The scripture, Ezekiel 13, 14. So I will break down the wall you have plastered. This is God. I will break down the wall you've plastered with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground so that its foundation will be uncovered. It will fall and you shall be consumed in the midst of it. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So they built this wall of untempered mortar. It was a wall, that's the description of something that wasn't strong and built well. And what it was the false teachers were building a wall in the minds of the people of lies by acquiescing, saying everything's all right, everything's fine. And the people were believing it. And he's like, I'm going to tear it down. But here's what Chuck Smith says. The prophets were lying to the people, wanting to give a popular message. They spoke words of peace when the truth was that Israel was on the brink of destruction. These prophets built a wall in the minds of the people behind which they wrongly believed they would find comfort and safety against the enemy. But the security they found of the prophets' words was a false security. When tested by storms, the wall wouldn't stand. So Chuck writes this, a true servant of God dare not preach a comforting message to those living in sin. And he goes on, people want to hear a comforting message that say it really doesn't matter to God what you do as long as you have a good attitude, as long as it feels right. Yet those who comfort you in your sin are false prophets. They build untempered walls which you find nothing but false security. You believe in a lie, but God hasn't changed. God is light and transcendent. So Chuck, these are his final words, and I totally embrace these words. I have been called to faithfully and truthfully warn those who have chosen the path of sin. But I'm also to speak good tidings for those who surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. He is the wall built with tempered mortar. Put your trust in Him so that when storms come, you may find true safety. So what are you growing in? What knowledge? What is the knowledge? Is it darkness? Is it lie? Is it deceit? Or is it really the nature of God and light? It is so key that we know the light and grow in the light. God is light, and we are to walk in the light, to be set apart to Him. And so how do we do that? We need to discern what is acceptable to Him. We need to discern what is, you know, pleasing to Him. And you do that through the light of the Word of God. We say it all the time, and I believe it's more true than last week. You're likely going to be consumed if you're not in your own Bible. I'll ask you, don't raise your hand physically. I don't want to put anybody on the spot. Just pretend you're raising your hand. How many people here read their Bibles 3 times this week? Nobody raised their hand. How many? How many people read their Bibles 4 times? 2 times? We have a dilemma. You cannot walk in the light unless you're growing in the light of knowledge. And there's a huge time score out there that is lying and lying and lying. The enemy is the prince of power of the air. If you fill your head with what he says, and you watch, and a part of that, you're growing in the knowledge of darkness and bearing the fruit. Pick up your Bible. Meet with your God. Meet with the one who is light. Let him speak to you. Don't trust just in pastors, podcasts, guys on TV. They could get off. And now they're untempered mortar. You know your Bible, and you keep learning it. Grow. We are people of light and need to walk in the light. And that includes we need the nature, we need to be born again, and we need the knowledge of that light. Careful, your knowledge is not darkness. There's warnings like that throughout the Scripture. Be on your guard. Here's a great prayer for the church. This is the prayer, Paul's prayer for the church of Philippi. And I'm going to quote to you from the New International Version. He says, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. He says, oh, I pray that your love, your knowledge of God would grow in depth and insight. You would grow in your discernment. You'd grow in that light of the knowledge. How about you? How about you? We're exhorted in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. Test all things. Test them. Hold fast what is good. How do you test them? Well, if it's anything about spiritual truth, you test them against the Word of God. You test them theologically about the nature of God. Then the emphasis, what is it causing you to, you know, focus on? Is it exalting Christ? Is it causing you more and more to fall in love with God? But then there's the moral test. And the moral test is, what will it produce in people's life over time? Of course, the moral test is the Scripture. But then what does it produce? What is it teaching in people's individual lives? Of course, when it comes to prophecy, the accuracy test, which is if somebody's given some sort of prophetic word, if it's light and truth, it'll come to pass. We are to walk in the light. Requires that we have that light in our nature, that we're born again, and that we're growing in the light of knowledge in that way, in our knowledge. And the next is what I would describe from verse 11, that we grow in our light in our sincerity or in our truthfulness. That Paul says this, find out what is acceptable, and then he says, have no fellowship with darkness, with the unfruitful works of God. Have no fellowship. This speaks of hypocrisy. I may understand the truth. I may be born again, and yet I can be hypocritical. We're going to have communion again in a moment. Communion is good for us to stop and evaluate our lives. But I would encourage you, if you're living, you know, the Scripture makes it clear there's nothing hidden from God. We'll note that Scripture in Hebrews in a moment. We're going to come to the communion table, and we're going to stand with the body and blood of Christ is represented in the communion elements. And we're gonna participate in that together. We should prepare our hearts. We should speak to the one who's the light, God, and oh God, you know, search my heart, see if there be any darkness, anything that's wicked. And would you forgive me? And I give it to you. I want to do the right thing. If we're playing the hypocrite, we're acting one way, yet we know there's areas of hidden darkness that we just keep, we think we keep them hidden. Or maybe they're not even that hidden. Other people know about it. We're just going to do it. Big deal when you come to the communion table, isn't it true? Paul says to the church of Corinth, he says, some of you have been disciplined because of the way you take communion. We are to examine our hearts. We will in a moment. That's a good thing. No fellowship. The New Testament says be logical. It's logical. Paul says to the church in Corinth, there's no communion with light and darkness. You can't, as soon as you turn on the light, the darkness goes. I was listening to a pastor, or reading about a pastor, excuse me, this week, and he took some people from his church to a cave, I forget where, but one of these really large caves. In fact, the way the cave was described is about the size of the Superdome in New Orleans. Well, there was a guide that brought him there, and they went down into this big cave that was like a big theater in a Superdome. And there was electrical lights that had lit it all up, and they were in there checking out, pretty amazing. Well, the guide then, as they were seated, turned out all the lights. Sitting in a cave, if you've ever done it, in absolute darkness, the pastor noted that it was like darkness you could feel. You couldn't see your hand. It was creepy. It was so dark. Well, then the tour guide just lit one candle. In a vast area like a stadium in a cave, one candle. And what that one candle did in that darkness was remarkable, as he was stating. Light, darkness, no communion. When the light of God is in me, I leave the darkness. I turn from the darkness. They don't have fellowship. They don't have communion. And maybe today, as I examine my heart, I need to repent. I need to ask God to forgive me. Remember, Paul said to the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't be joined with them. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? There's no that doesn't happen with God. And what communion has light with darkness? It does not happen. Now, turn, if you would, to 1 John. Because the truth is, we are in these broken bodies. We've come to Christ as believers. I still have a whole old sin nature that I have victory over, but it's still around. And so John writes to that, and he's speaking of hypocrisy and sincerity, that at times I'm going to do some goofy thing, say some goofy thing, feel or whatever, and do the wrong thing. But there's a path for that, and I need to deal with that. And that's what he says in 1 John, if you would turn there, chapter 1, verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message which we've heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The Greek word he uses there for darkness is skotia. It's a different word, and it refers to the fruit of darkness, like what results from darkness, especially, meaning sin. It speaks of the darkness that came into the world when Adam and Eve fell and stumbled. It speaks of the result of that in my broken life. That is the darkness. And notice what the way it's worded. When it comes to God, he is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And the way he uses the wording in the Greek, there's no absolute, no darkness with God at all, period. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Simply stated, if you're here today online, listening on the radio, and you say, I love Jesus, I'm a Christian, but you live in rebellion, you know what you've learned in the Bible, learned at church, what you learned from your parents, whatever, you're living contrary in your lifestyle, you're lying. You are not walking in the light. Simply put, because Christ, God, is light. And when you're with him, there's light. The whole thing is Jesus being with him and what he does in our lives. So we don't want to be a hypocrite. There's no fellowship with light and darkness. He then goes on. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So, you know, there's a statement there. You could see revival, but it's just, you know, the church. We're born again. We have Christ in us, this light, and we're being honest with God in our sincerity. We're being honest with one another, and in that way, we're walking in the light. And there's that fellowship. Then he says, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Everyone here is still a sinner, and we have this old nature that we're learning victory over. But if we confess our sins, which we can do at the communion table in a moment, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, walking in the light is that experience. That I got started this morning and I was frustrated and I had some words I wish I didn't come out, let's say. Let's just say, for instance. Well, okay, I need to deal with it. God, would you forgive me? Cleanse me, heal me. And then I'm back in that light of sincerity and truthfulness with God and with others, and I'm in the light. The problem is the hypocrisy, where stuff stays. I don't deal with it. I hide it. I allow it. I don't care. That's walking in darkness. Are we walking in the light? Are we walking in the light today? The nature, the light of Christ, is the knowledge of Christ in us, His light. And in that sincerity, because that's the key thing, being honest before God. Yeah, God, I've sinned. Now, that goes on. He says, you know, sin obviously separates us from God, so we need to make it right. And the way you make it right is to confess it, and He forgives you and cleanses you. So we have the nature of light in us. We have growing in that knowledge, that light, continuing in the sincerity. But then go back to Ephesians, we have light in our impact. And that's just the way I just highlight the chapter. You might use different points, but this is what he says if you go back. Verse 11, Ephesians 5. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Good word. You and I should not be ashamed of the light. We should not be ashamed to be in the light. The light is the nature. It's God. To speak the light. To live the light is not something to be ashamed of, because it is the Lord. And so as I grow and follow the Lord, as I'm walking in light, that means light in my impact, meaning that I'm exposing darkness. There's a light in me, the light of God, the life of God, and the world can see God in me, and that exposes darkness. People now may be seeing, they know there's difference, there's something. You have convictions. That's convicting to me. You know, there's an exposing of darkness. Jesus said to the church, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So as followers of Jesus, don't be ashamed of the light. And yes, it exposes darkness, but that's what we're called to be as the church. Let your light shine to Fitchburg, Leominster, Gardner, and the area around. Let your life, the people see in you that you love God and you fear God. Light exposes darkness, and evil's seen for what it really is when it's dragged into the light of Christ. John chapter 3. Verse 20, remember what Jesus said. "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." There are plenty of people like, "I don't want to go to church." And why do they want to go to church? Because I don't want to live that way. I don't want to deal. I don't want to be convicted. I don't want to hear about it. This is who I am. This is what I don't want to be around that. And Jesus said it this way. He is the light. The Son of God has come to the world. And they don't want to come, and they don't want to be their deeds to be exposed. But he says, "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." That's what it is to be in the light. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, I just noted a moment ago. "There is no creature hidden from God's sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." God knows every bit about your life and my life. David was wise when he said, "Oh God, search my heart. See if there be any wicked thing in there. Please search my heart, because you know it more better than I do." And we should do that in a moment when we come to the community table. Charles Spurgeon, somebody asked for permission to write his life story. And the great preacher said this, "You may write my life in the skies. I have nothing to hide." How about you? He wasn't a perfect man. He wasn't. But he knew there was nothing hidden. He would come into the light and make it right. And that's a good way to live. Don't be ashamed of the light. It is God. You know, we need to be voices of the light. And it does expose darkness when we are, but we need to. Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, maybe you listen to Jack Hibbs. He's now on our radio station too. And fascinating, I read in the Calvary Chapel magazine, email came out yesterday. This is a large church in Southern California, but Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, which is striking this would be the case in America these days, but that church and a few churches, like our church had in the past, entered a lawsuit against the state because of laws that were not good and different ones in their context. But specifically, evidently in California, their church insurance, medical insurance that they provided for their employees, they had to include abortion insurance. Well, that is something Jack Hibbs, he's very vocal about life and pro-life. Yes, it's true. We're in a dirty, messy world, and it's confusing, and there are a lot of hurting people. There's a lot of abuse and terrible things done to women, and we have to be real in the middle of it. But God hasn't changed. The darkness is what it is, and it's broken mess and all the problems. God is light. What is the knowledge of God? Life. And I've taught in the Bible, God is pro-life, clearly, from the Scripture. But the interesting thing about Jack Hibbs, his mom and dad, two children, she's pregnant with a third, dad is leaving on a business trip for a while. He says to his wife, I don't want that child, I don't want to see that child. Mean dude. She is distraught, depressed, afraid of her husband, whatever. She decides with a coat hanger to end that life. Now, of course, there's just this crazy, broken world. God's over here. Here's the broken world and all that goes with it. That man was evil. She stuck in a place that was also not right what she did. Amazingly, she ended up in the hospital, but that baby survived. And the baby is Jack Hibbs. Jack Hibbs grew up with a relationship with his father, but he knew his father did not like him. And so then had struggles in life. In fact, he even had a stutter. Very alienated and alone. Tough life. But then he came into the light of Jesus Christ. And God did an amazing work in his life. He now has a massive church in Southern California. So, don't be ashamed of the light. Don't be ashamed of the light. Speak the truth. Speak the truth. Live the truth. The light is God. Don't be ashamed of it. But remember, he says, light exposes, but it's shameful. Remember, it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Not too long ago in America, there's a lot of things you never say because it's shameful. And we didn't say those things. Now you say anything is out. We're so crude and rude and the culture is corrupt. You and I are still people of light. We don't speak of that. We don't have as we're speaking the truth, I don't become this expert in darkness either to expose it. I live the light. I speak the truth. I speak the light is what I do. Light is my focus. Christ is my focus. Paul said to the church in Romans 16, verse 19, but what I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. The last thing, verse 14, and we'll have communion here in a moment. Some wonder if it's a hymn, verse 14, that he's quoting, an early church hymn, a compilation of various scriptures, because there's not an exact Old Testament scripture to fit it, but he says this. And this is the way I put it, my last point, point five. Life needs light. A plant can't grow without it, right? Life needs light. He says, awake you who sleep. Anybody sleeping today spiritually? Awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead. Anybody spiritually dead here? That is to be without Christ. Arise from the dead. Now is your opportunity with the light. Christ will give you light is what he says at the end. You know, if you're sleeping, the church, we can get into that mode where we fall asleep and we need to wake up. It's not good to be in the light and to sleep in the light. In fact, physically, I read an article recently. If you're a person who physically sleeps in the light, it's not good for you. Did you know that? Study done at Northwestern University. If you fall asleep with a TV or whatever, they did a study. It's not good for you to sleep with light. And you're better to turn off all the lights and make it dark. Because what happens, they did a study in different test cases, that even just a moderate amount of light has adverse effects on your cardiovascular and metabolic health. that when you sleep in the light, your heart rate is elevated. And you have an increased insulin resistance, and so you have trouble making your blood sugar in a normal range. So physically, you want to sleep in the dark. Physically, sleeping in the light isn't good. Spiritually, if you've come into the light and you're sleeping in the light, it is not good. You need to wake up. You need to be vibrant again for God. You need to repent today, make things right, go home. Next week, if we say, who's read your Bible? You're like, I've been reading my Bible. I've been praying. I know Jesus is coming. I can't wait to meet him in person. You'll see him. And I want to tell others about him. You need to wake up. That's what he's saying. Arise. Arise, you sleeper. Now, some of it, we need more than to arise from our sleep. We need resurrection. We need to arise from the dead. And that means that we need to accept Christ, because when you're without Christ, you're spiritually dead. Because God, Christ, is life. And when you're separated from him, that is death. When Adam and Eve fell, they died. Death came to the world, the curse, all this brokenness. God is over here with life. We're separated. All of us are born that way, sinners, separated from God. Spiritually death. When I was born, I was spiritually dead. I remained that way. No hope, darkness could do anything about it, except God did something. He sent his son. His son came from heaven, perfect son of God. He took on the penalty of death. Sin is death. The God's son was judged in my place. He died on a cross, and he raised to life. He conquered sin. He conquered death. Now he's the bridge. He's my mediator between me and God. And I call upon him and I'll be saved and forgiven of my sin. And the moment I do, I'm born again. I arise from the dead. Anybody here today, you're hearing God's voice. You've never come into the light. There's this moment of light right now you can respond to. I pray that you do. But you can come. Notice those last words. And Christ will give you light. The light is Christ. We're all sinners. We need Christ. He is the light. And today you can put your trust in Jesus. Paul said to the church in Rome, if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So you can call on the Lord today. Paul described, profess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart he raised from the dead. It speaks of a decision, a new direction, a new orientation, where I decided when I was 15 at a meeting like this, I said, I mean it. And I'm telling you right now, God, I ask that you'd forgive me of my sins. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I want you, and here's my life. And he forgave me. And at that very moment, I became a child of light, because I was reconciled to God who is light, and his life began to spirit work in me. You can have that experience today if you want it. So what I do is I use the opportunity just to share a prayer. You can say this prayer. This prayer is not a magical prayer. Do not want to misrepresent it. It is a decision. But you might be here today, and it is a decision that you can begin your journey today. And maybe you just don't know what to say. And the light's shining right now. Make your decision. You can use this prayer in your own life, in your own heart. Say this to God and mean it. Give him your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness of my sins. I need a Savior. Father, I believe you sent your Son Jesus to this world and he became a man. One day he died on a cross, paying the penalty for my sin. Then he raised to life so I could have life. Father, today I do believe. And I ask that you'd forgive me of all my sins. I receive you, Jesus, right now into my heart as my Lord, as my Savior. I choose to follow you the rest of my life. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for saving me and answering my prayer. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And today, if you called on the Lord, it's a conversation you have in your heart with God. He's heard you if you have. You've called on Him. And if that be you, I like to just keep you in prayer because I do this frequently at church because I like to be praying for people. And there's a list of names I just keep praying for every day. And maybe that's you today. Maybe today you're like, all right, yeah. God knows. I made a decision with Him. He heard me. And if that's you, I'd like to just keep you in prayer. If you're beginning your journey with Christ today, I'd ask if you would, if you'd raise your hand. We're going to just pray for you. And that's all we're going to do. Keep you in prayer because you're going out back into that big time square of darkness. Father, we thank you. As we stand here, we thank you for hearing our hearts and our prayer. And like David, we do say, search our heart, O God, and see if there be anything wicked in us, any sin, and expose it that we can even confess it to you, that we can walk in that sincerity, that light as we go. We confess our sins to you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, God, for giving your Son. Thank you. You weren't ashamed, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sin. As we leave this place, may we not be ashamed of you. May we walk in that light that you've given us, unashamed. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiveness of sins, Lord. As we read, we confess, we're washed, we're cleansed. We go as your people in that place of truth and light and in that unhindered walk with God. We just thank you. We just praise you. We do. And may the world see the joy of Christ in us as we go today. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.